With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Hard to believe it's been a week already. Hasn't felt that long. How are you, Andrea Simontov?
It hasn't felt that long because you're not cleaning a thing, Simon. You're not cleaning a thing, Professor. So the days are just flowing one into another.
And I've got a vision of you now with a little broom and one of those little dust picker upper things that we call a scoppy here and an apron and making sure that your house has got no chametz in it, clearly.
Yeah, so, you know, I am wearing the apron, and I'm looking at the, little, what is it?
I don't know what.
We actually have that little vacuum, and we call it Alex. And the reason is Alex was the name of my last terrible house cleaner. And so, so I'm looking at the pail, I'm looking at the broom, I'm looking at Alex, and I'm waiting for everyone to snap into it. Just, it's snapping.
Yeah, and it doesn't kind of clean itself, does it? It just doesn't do that.
Right. So, you know, the last time my house got out of control, what I did was I moved. So.
Okay. That's a solution.
So I'm leaving. I'm leaving my husband here. I'm getting on a plane. I'm flying to America.
Is that for real or are you joking?
No, it is for real. So I'm supposed to fly to America. We have to talk about next week's appearance on the show, Erev Pesach. It may happen. It may not happen. I'm supposed to fly, but I did tell my daughter in Beit Shemesh there is a possibility I can just show up at her door. The flight could be canceled. And
yeah, no, absolutely. None of us know anything in that regard. But you ask a fascinating question. Pesach, terrific or terrible?
Right. Yeah. Okay, so it's terrific. Can we go on?
Well,
So, you know, Simon, I wanted to share this because I know the experience when I was growing up, and I think many people can relate to this, there was like sort of this martyr aspect to a woman's role at Pesach. Women would stand online at the supermarket and compare the ministrations. You know, I cleaned around my toilet with an old toothbrush. Really? I did my car radiator with some, you know, unused toothpicks. And people would talk about it and talk about it as though they themselves were the Korban Pesach, you know, the Passover sacrifice. And the deader you got to the table, the more miserable you looked, it was the greater badge of, I don't know, worthiness.
Yeah.
But in recent years, for those of us who, you know, want to take it a little deeper, you know, I don't know how many rabbis are listening in, but I'm sure that they'll all agree with me. It's clean enough. It's not about, don't get this stuff confused with spring cleaning. It is indeed about the chametz. But we're not just talking about pizza crumbs and donuts. We're talking about our egos. We're talking about arrogance. We're talking about assumptions. I promise you that if the house is clean enough, if the dog will or won't eat it, there's all kinds of laws. If the dog will eat it, it's chametz. If the dog won't eat it, it's treif. Forget about it. It's good enough. But if we listen to good, you know, good Torah talks, good music, if we come to that Seder table, not like dish rags, and not thinking that it's about the silver and about Bubby's great kugel, but it's about all the faces around us. And especially this year, I know that in Israel, more of us are going to be together. Many of us have been immunized. We're going to be sitting together. And, you know, this is the Chag where we talk about, you know, four is the big things, the four cups and the four questions. And then there's the four sons. And the fact is that the four sons are in every one of us. Sometimes we're smart. Sometimes we're dopey. Sometimes we don't have the information. And sometimes we're antagonistic. But the thing is, as long as we're all around the table, Pesach is doing its thing. I wanted to throw out. Make a noise, Simon, so I know you're there.
No. All good, all good. I've got a question for you after this, but go on.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to tell you is, I think Pesach, I didn't always love it. I had other favorites. But in Israel, those 8 days of Pesach, there's no one that's exempt. Everyone, even the most secular, you see them like driving after candlelighting, and they're coming to somebody's house carrying a big silver tray of food. the parks. It's about picnics. It's about togetherness. And because we're such a foodie nation, it is indeed about the food. It's about eating out, especially eating in the driveway the night before we search for the chametz. It's about going to the beach and opening up your horrible, you know, matzah sandwiches, which are filled with sand. It's wonderful. It's memorable. And I believe that the best memories come through Pesach. What's the question, Simon?
Well, number one, I agree with you 100,000%. Number two, Ronnie Hershovitz has just weighed in and says, I adore this woman, and I think she talks on behalf of many of us. So just take that and smile about that. Number three.
Yo, Ronnie. Yeah, go ahead.
Number three, I was listening to you, and for the very first time in my life, I saw a female's perspective on Pesach. I could have lived two lifetimes, and it would never have occurred to me that that was your experience. I've never had that issue of having to prepare or clean. So for me, it's always been this incredible holiday, be it from a religious perspective. Well, okay, that's not so important to me, but culturally and nationally, it is something that resonates so incredibly deeply, no matter where you are on the spectrum of religiosity, that it's something incredible. So you brought something really interesting to me today, i.e. the woman's perspective, but I think we're all agreeing that it's something very special.
Well, I'm really grateful. You know, here in Israel, we have one Seder. We have one Seder, it's the way the calendar, but in Chul, the Galut, the diaspora, in the diaspora, you have two Seders, and it was very often, I remember that even though, you know, now that I live in Israel, when I go to the States and they have these two Seders and I'm moaning and groaning, wishing I had my cell phone under the table, but what I wanted to tell you was, but most of the time, in my, not my secular, my diaspora life,
yeah,
I enjoyed the second Seder because I came to the table as so many women who don't have the luxury of household help. You know, culturally, household help is where it's at in South Africa.
Sure,
and I
100%.
Think that the Seders I've been to there have been more beautiful, more aesthetic, but there's something about, I don't know, being tired, kicking the kids out of the house, you know, making them take their shoes off, that leaves certain memories. But I'm telling my sisters outside of housekeeping societies, chill, relax. It's good enough. What's more important is that everyone is together and building these incredible memories. And, you know, as I enter, start tiptoeing toward the twilight of my life in another 20, 30 years, I'll begin tiptoeing toward it. My sisters, my siblings and I, we talk about memories that weren't even blips on the radar screen when we were growing up, and somehow they become incredibly precious. So I encourage everyone, we're going to speak hopefully next week. We'll see if I'm not having a fight at the airport.
Yeah, the lounge at Ben Gurion.
I encourage everyone to start, get into Pesach mode, open the windows, you know, and think about the people, not the chametz. Think about the modesty, think about the humility, think about the friendship, and think about what it meant, this most pivotal event in our history, bar none.
I was going to play a song. And I should play a song, and I'll probably get it on my head for not playing a song, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to talk to you until news because this is too important, this issue. Andrea, imagine what it is like celebrating Pesach in South Africa 28 years ago in the midst of apartheid, where white families like those where I was brought up in, you'd sit at the Pesach table and your grandmother or your mother would ring a bell and the domestic servant would come in and serve you. And then think about the words that you were reciting during Pesach, Mi Abdut Lecherut, from slavery to freedom. And the contradiction always kind of hit me straight between the eyes. How do we sit and do this and then ring the bell? I mean, it just made me so grateful to be Jewish, to have a festival like this that just brings it to the fore, where you had to sit down at a table and talk about justice. Amazing.
Simon, you know, you're speaking. These are holy, holy thoughts born of a holy place. And, you know, for me, part of emancipation is to be able to say with humility, this is wrong. there's something wrong. And yes, we can analyze and we can understand. I've been learning a lot. You know, I watch a lot of documentaries when I fold laundry. I have a lot of laundry. And I've been looking, I do watch a lot of American history and slavery stories, and I'm remembering for what it felt like to be liberated. You know, only 20% of us left Mitzrayim, and how what you're really raising is a very painful point, and I'm walking on eggshells here. But you know what? I think it's a question that it behooves us to ask. Should we be ringing bells? And in a sense, somebody says, "Oh, they get paid." We know all the justification. We know it.
We've all listened 100%.
To it. Yes. But the fact is, if there's perhaps one night where we should sit in the isolation of our Jewishness and not necessarily celebrate the chametz of our life, the inflated aspects of our life, but kind of glom onto a tad of humility, and maybe it would give a different perspective. Maybe that's where the teaching has to come for the kids. You know, you say something that is, I love hearing you say it, because it's not for me, the outsider, to raise my arms and say, what is this?
Andrea Simontov, before I let you go, Austin Gibbs saying, loving the contribution of Andrea, always enlightening with a touch of humor. And I think Ronnie just scored. My God, a cleaner, a folder, the whole shebang. Lucky, lucky man. Andrea Simontov.
This guy is he's some lucky guy. I'm going to go punch him in the head now and tell him. You know how lucky you are?
There you go. You do that. Andrea Simontov, we are just privileged to chat to you once a week. Thank you for staying with me a little longer. It's 5 o'clock. I got to leave it there, but thank you.